Well, this evening a very simple question. And it's this: how can God accept me? Or how can I be right with God? Or how can I go to heaven? How can God accept me? And the answer which most people give to that question is this: how can God accept me? Go to church and keep the rules. But that's the problem, isn't it? Because I don't want to go to church. I don't want to keep the rules. I don't want to go around being religious. I want to get on with my life. I don't want to go around feeling guilty all the time because I've broken the rules. I want to enjoy life. Okay, says Jesus. Well, let's meet a man who goes to church and keeps the rules. And let's meet another man who's messed up. So a hero and a villain. The righteous and the despised. A priest and a pornographer. A rabbi and a racist. A Pharisee and a tax collector. So please have the reading which we had at Luke 18, and we read verse 9. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. So one's in church as he always is, and one, as it were, he creeps in halfway through the service and sits at the back. So what we do is we'll look at the Pharisee first, and we'll spend most of our time looking at the Pharisee. So the Pharisee, he comes to pray. What does he pray? Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself: God, I thank you. I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. It's a good start, isn't it? It's like a psalm. God, I thank you. The air is filled with praise and thanksgiving. Wait a minute. Who is he really thanking? Does he thank God for being God? God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable, everywhere present. His wisdom unsearchable, his sovereignty incontestable, his power irresistible, his holiness beautiful, his love inexhaustible. Does he praise God for being God, the loveliest of all beings, worthy of my soul, my life, my all? So does he? Does he thank God for being God? No, he thanks God that he's a Pharisee. His life is not centered on God. His life is centered on himself, which is why Jesus says in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He's not praying to God. He's praying with himself. Now, how can we sum up this Pharisee's prayer? Well, two words: balloons and trampolines. You ever blown up one of those really big balloons? Takes a lot of puff, doesn't it? Well, this man is blowing up a balloon, isn't he? And with every word, every breath, you can feel his self-importance growing and expanding. He really is somebody. So that by the end of the prayer, if he could, he would float up to heaven. In the words of verse 14, he exalts himself. He blows himself up in that sense. That's what it means. God, I thank you, I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Five times in his prayer he says, I. It's all about himself. He's saying, just look at me. Just look at me. Exalting himself. Balloons and trampolines. We've all been trampolining, haven't we? And this man is bouncing up and down upon the sins of others. Verse 11. I thank you, I'm not like other men. Well, which other men is he talking about? Well, sinners, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. He's, as it were, trampolining, isn't he, on people who are worse than himself, so that if he could, as it were, he'd be catapulted to heaven. In the words of verse 14, he exalts himself, he lifts himself up. But everyone, says Jesus, who exalts himself will be humbled, will be put down. Balloons and trampolines are not the way to heaven. Now we need to dig a little bit deeper, don't we? What is Pharisee really doing? Let's try and get under his skin. Well, he's doing three things. The first thing he's doing is he's trying to impress God. In his mind is a sort of unspoken contract. And it's this, that for God to accept me, I must be a good boy. So, if I do this, God will accept me. If I go to church and keep the rules, I'll be right with God. If I avoid the bad and do the good, I'll go to heaven. He's trying to impress God. Which, of course, is why he keeps listing all his achievements, why it's all about himself. I, look at me, look at me. He's trying to impress God. But is God impressed? No, says Jesus. Verse 14, this Pharisee leaves the temple as condemned and as guilty as when he walked in. So what's the problem? Why isn't God impressed? Well, because Christianity, being right with God, is not about impressing God. It's not about avoiding bad things and doing good things. There's a sense in which anyone can do that. Anyone can avoid bad things. Anyone can do good things. That's not what the gospel's about. That's not what Christianity's about. It's about your heart. It's about a relationship with God. It's about a relationship of love and devotion, in which I love God. That's what it's really all about. Now, Charles Spurgeon put it like this. There's a wonderful king and his subjects. And among his subjects was a humble gardener. And he so loved and esteemed his king that one day he presented his king with a bunch of carrots. And the king, seeing this man's love, he gave him a plot of ground so he could grow even more carrots. Well, one of the king's courtiers was watching. He thought to himself, "Ooh, an acre of land for a bunch of carrots. That's a good deal." So the next day the courtier gave the king a magnificent horse. Wow. So what did the king do? Bunch of carrots, an acre of land. A magnificent horse, and the courtier's eyes widened. So what did the king do? He simply said, "Thank you." And nothing more. And the courtier was upset. He thought to himself, "Well, that's not fair. He gives a bunch of carrots and gets a field. I give a magnificent steed, and all I get is a thank you." So the king said to him, "The gardener gave the carrots to me. You gave the horse to yourself. He did it simply because he loved me. You did it simply to get something back. An unspoken contract. If I do this, then the king will do this." Do you see, the courtier didn't love the king. What he was after was something for himself. There was no love for the king in that gift. There was simply love for himself. If I give him a really big gift, what am I going to get back? The king was simply for him a means to an end. And that's our Pharisee. That's what Pharisees do. In other words, if I impress God, if I give him a big enough gift, if I list for him all that I do, then what God will give me back? He'll accept me, he'll bless me, he'll reward me. So do you see, it's not about God. It's all about himself. That's why Jesus says he didn't pray to God, he was praying with himself. And that's why God says no. Now, my friend, what of you? I'm talking to everyone in this room. Who knows where the Pharisee lives? I'm talking to everyone, including myself. Are you serving the Lord, or are you serving yourself? Do you avoid bad things simply because you want the king to commend you? And do you do good things simply because you want God to reward you? So you're quite happy to give him a horse, something special, something costly, because in your mind you're thinking of what you might get back. And the ultimate reason for what you do is not for him, because you love him. You're actually doing it for yourself, for what you might get back. And actually, all your Christianity, all your religion, all your devotion is actually not God-centered, it's actually self-centered. And actually, your God isn't in heaven. Your God dwells on earth. It's you. Life revolves around you. And therefore, you see, you break the first and greatest commandment, don't you? You don't love God with all your heart. And you see, if you're out to impress God, what happens when things go badly? What happens when things are unkind? Now ask yourself these questions. They'll tell you if the Pharisee's living in you. Do you feel guilty? When life goes badly, do you feel guilty? Because obviously I've not done enough to please him. Or maybe you feel angry because after all I've done for God, and this is how he treats me. He's not keeping his part of the agreement. And when life is good, do you feel particularly pleased? You know, you feel, I'm feeling really spiritual because life's good. When actually at the bottom of it, you're pleased with yourself. Because you feel I'm getting the pat on the back I deserve. God is rewarding me. Subtle, these things, aren't they? My friend, are you trying to impress God? Are you trying to earn his acceptance? Are you with lip and apparently with action saying, yes, I'm serving him, that's why I'm doing it. But actually, deep down, you're really serving yourself. Is the Pharisee in you? But you see, there are other implications as well. If I'm trying to impress God, then it becomes very important how I'm doing compared to everybody else. If I'm doing better than everyone else, then I'll feel secure, won't I? Because I'm near the top, so I must be doing okay. But if I'm not doing as well as everyone else, I'll feel insecure. Because I'm down the bottom. So Pharisees are very concerned to be on the top rung of the ladder. So what happens? Well, Pharisees start pointing out the faults in others, don't they? That's what he's doing, isn't he? He's pointing out the faults in others, because I'm pointing out that they're down there, and if they're down there, well, Lord, I must be up here. Yeah? That's why he says, isn't he? Look, God, I thank you, not like other men. He's going down the ladder, isn't he? Look, say, I'm up here, but look, as I look down, there are extortioners and unjust and adulterers and all that right down the bottom. Lord, look at him right at the bottom. On the bottom rung, there's the tax collector. And whilst Pharisees are busy pointing out the sins of others, of course they put themselves in the best possible light, don't they? I'm right at the top of the ladder, look at me, I'm up here, can you see me, Lord? I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Jews only needed to fast once a year on the Day of Atonement. This man fasts 104 times a year. That's impressive, isn't it? He doesn't just give a tenth of his money, he gives a tenth of everything. So when he picks up his herbs, his cumin or his mint, and he sprinkles them on his food, a tenth of that has actually gone to the Lord. So my friend, what of you? Are you conscious where you are on the ladder? That's what a Pharisee does. Do you feel, well, I'm up here. Look at what I do. And then you look down and say, yeah, and they're down there. Look how far down they are. So I wouldn't listen to that music. And I wouldn't wear a skirt as short as that. I wouldn't spend my money on that. And I wouldn't watch television on a Sunday. And I wouldn't go to see a 15. And I wouldn't go to the pub. they can't find the reading in the Bible. It's one of the minor prophets. They don't know which page it is. And during the prayer, he had his eyes open. I go twice on a Sunday. I'm looking around. There are some people who aren't here this evening, but I've been here twice. I never see them at the prayer meeting. I don't drink. I don't swear. I don't kiss, at least not like that. I don't party. I don't sleep around. I'm not a racist. I'm not an Arminian. I'm not a charismatic. I don't go to that school. I go to that school. I don't go to that school because I'm schooled at home. I go to Amy and Park Chapel. I don't go to Amy and Park Chapel. Now, obviously, many of those things are good, aren't they? When they're done for the right reasons. But in the hands of a Pharisee, good things become defiled. So, my friend, do you talk yourself up? And then you look sideways and then you talk others down. And there's always a sort of ratio in which they're going down and you're going up. All your conversations are them down, me up. All my thoughts, them down, me up. That's what Pharisees do. And my friend, if you're looking down on others, you're likely to resent those who you think are on a higher rung of the ladder from you. Yeah? So you're looking up to someone who's a bit higher on the ladder as far as you're thinking, well, who does she think she is? And the real reason is she's further up on the ladder. And look at them listening to him. Maybe, my friend, you're even looking down on this Pharisee. You're saying, God, I thank you, I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this Pharisee. I thank you, I'm not like the Pharisee. Are you a Pharisee of Pharisees? Because you're trying to win your acceptance with God. But you see, there are further implications still. Because if you're trying to impress God, paradoxically, far from doing more for God, you'll actually end up doing less. Now, what do I mean? Well, just look at verse 12. What is this man boasting in? Now, just look at it. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Fantastic. What a boast. I go without food twice a week, and a tenth of all that I have goes to God. Does that sound like joyful devotion? Does that sound like an attractive life? Do you say, oh boy, I wish I could live like that? Sounds like do's and don'ts to me. Sounds like a man, as it were, paying his taxes. I owe God something, I'm giving him his due. Is that what living for God is really like? Why is it that if I try to impress God, far from doing more for God, I actually end up doing less? Well, let's go and visit another king. Here's a king, in his palace are rules. What sort of rules are in his palace? Well, there's the rule of you've got to speak respectfully of the king. There's another rule, do not pilfer. And there are lots and lots of other rules as well. Now, what do his servants do? They respect the rules. They prove their loyalty. There's an outward keeping of the king's commands. But living in the palace is the king's son. Does he follow the rules? In a sense, he doesn't need them, does he? Why? Because he loves the king. It's not a servant-master relationship. It's a father-son relationship. Now, of course, he doesn't do anything that the rules forbid. But he goes so much further than the rules. Not an outward keeping, not do's and don'ts. So when that rule says, do not pilfer, he goes so much further. He takes such loving care of the king's possessions. And that rule which says, speak respectfully of the king. Well, he goes so much further. Because he speaks of his father with evident affection and love and warmth. Do you see? He's not a servant. He's a son. He's not a servant trying to impress the king. He's a son who loves his father. It's a relationship of love, of devotion, of affection, of warmth. And therefore, it's not about do's and don'ts and keeping the rules. He goes so much further. So what about you? Is serving God joyless drudgery? Oh, no. Is it do's and don'ts? Serve the Lord, Amy and Park Chapel. Oh, no. Do you feel he's a hard master? Or is serving him your heart's desire? You love to serve him. You go the extra mile. You do it automatically. You don't have to think about it. Because you love him. You don't have to be talked into things. You love him. You serve him. Are you, as it were, a cook who's slaving away in the kitchen, hoping to get paid at the end of the evening? Or are you a loving wife, serving up his favourite meal, because that is his own reward? Because you love him, and you want the best for him. And it's because it's for him. And that's all that matters to you. It's for him, and I love him. Are you a servant, or are you a son? Are you like a Pharisee trying to impress God? Much more quickly now. He's doing something else. He's trying to impress others, isn't he? This Pharisee. Where's our tax collector? Well, verse 13 tells us he's standing afar off. So where's our Pharisee? Well, he's obviously, by implication, standing where he can be seen. He's praying where he can be seen. Why? Because if getting right with God depends upon me, I need to constantly prove myself. Not just prove myself to God, but I need to prove myself to others. I need in some way to sort of feel I'm a success. I need to feel good about myself. I need that constant reassurance that other people will give me. I need others to say to me, well done. My friend, what of you? How much does what others say matter? Now, of course, it always matters, doesn't it, in that sense? You know, though, what I am saying. Am I out to impress? Do I feel that I need a role? Do my gifts need to be recognized and seen? Do I find myself more keen to serve when other people are watching? Do I feel under pressure to try and preach better and better sermons? Do I feel under pressure to prove that I'm a really good parent? Do I feel under pressure, and so I'm working harder and longer hours to show that I'm a success? It's all the stuff of a Pharisee. Do you see, this life of a Pharisee is absolutely crippling, isn't it? I'm trying to keep up with God. I'm trying to keep ahead of everyone else. I'm trying to win the approval of everybody. To prove that I'm the best. Because at the end of the day, it's up to me. What I do. Have I done enough? So I've got to show I'm really good at this because it's up to me. So number one, he wants to impress God. Number two, he wants to impress others. And number three, what do we find? He ends up being very impressed with himself, doesn't he? Yeah? He stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you. I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. No, I'm miles better than he is. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He's saying to himself, oh, well done. The air is thick with self-congratulation. He admires himself, doesn't he? Can't understand why other people aren't admiring him as well. And ultimately, it really is for God to admire him. In Jesus' words, verse 9, he trusts himself. In Jesus' words, verse 14, he exalts himself. How can God not accept me? So how can God accept me? Go to church and keep the rules is what most people say, isn't it? But where do you end up if you go to church and keep the rules? You end up with the world revolving around me. You end up with no love for God. No love for others. You actually got contempt for others. You're all the time conscious of where you are on the ladder. You resent the ones above you. You feel superior to the ones below you. So there's no love for God, there's no love for your neighbour, and actually you end up in love with yourself. This go to church and keep the rules, you end up a proud, cold, smug, joyless, self-centred, religious Pharisee. The most unattractive person you could possibly imagine, almost. And God rejects him. Apart from being the best of men, he is actually the chief of sinners. And we all have to cry, don't we? God, be merciful to me, the Pharisee. So that's not the right way. What is the right way? How can God accept me? Well, verse 13, the tax collector. We'll bring these things to a close. Now remember, this is the first century, isn't it? Tax collectors now is a perfectly respectable occupation. But tax collectors in the first century, they're men who sold their soul for money. They're crooks. They're thieves. It's legalized robbery. So you think, what's he doing in church, a man like him? And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What's the first thing that strikes you? He's not trying to impress God, is he? It's the last thing he's trying to do. He's not trying to impress anybody else. And he's certainly not impressed with himself. He knows exactly what he is. He stands afar off. He feels himself to be too vile to come near to a holy God. I daren't take another step. Do you know that? And he won't so much as raise his eyes to heaven. You know when you've wronged someone big time, you can't look them in the eye, can you? He's ashamed. He can't look God in the eye. I know that I'm guilty. Do you know that? And he beats his breast. He's hitting himself, isn't he? He feels a total failure. He strikes himself. There's a sense in which he hates himself. You know, we live in a world where it's all about self-esteem and building yourself up and being the best and being seen to be the best and feeling good about yourself. This man doesn't feel any of that. He beats himself. He beats himself up. He hates himself for what he's done. He judges himself. He says, how on earth? What? Look at me. Just look at me. This is the man that I am. What have I done? Do you know that? And unlike the Pharisee, his words are few. They don't tumble out easily, do they? It's not a polished prayer, this. Because there's no pretense in it. This is not rehearsed. This is very real. He's no longer living in denial. He says, I know exactly what I am. And oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In fact, in the original there's no A. He doesn't actually say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He actually prays, God be merciful to me, sinner. He prays as though he's the only sinner in the universe. Doesn't say, look, I know we're all sinners and they've done something wrong and I'm just one amongst the many. We all get it wrong from time to time. He says, Lord, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. I'm worthy of a double hell. That's the sense of it, isn't it? Do you know that? And siding with God against himself, he does the only thing a sinner can do. And that's to fall upon the kind arms of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Not out to impress God. Not out to impress anybody else. Knows he's at the bottom of the ladder. In fact, he's even lower. He tears off the mask. He's brutally honest. And what happens? If the Pharisee comes to God on the Pharisee's terms, this man comes to God on God's terms. And what does he find? He finds that God accepts him. Verse 14 says, Jesus, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, can you believe it, went down to his house justified rather than the other. What does that word justified mean? It means acquitted, accepted, forgiven, right with God. It's talking about a ruined relationship that's been mended, that's been put right, that's been restored. That man walks home that day enjoying peace and fellowship with God. Can you believe it? Do you know that? Do you see? When he doesn't try to prove anything, when he comes to God just as he is, what does he discover? He discovers that God loves sinners. That's the gospel. Somehow we've got it into our heads that I need to do something before God will accept me. I need to prove something before God will love me. I need to impress God for God to accept me. And Jesus says, no, no, no. God loves sinners. God loves them so much that he saves them. Have you forgotten? What's all this about? It's about the God who sent his Son into the world to die upon a cross, to take the blame for my sins and the sins of countless others, to endure the punishment that I deserve, to suffer the anger that's otherwise going to crash down upon my head. Can you believe it? The good news really is that good. God sees right through you. He says, I know everything about you. Nothing is hidden from me. I know even the secrets that you've tried to keep from yourself. I know you. I know who you are. So stop trying to impress. Come to me just as you are. That's what I want from you. Just come as you are. And come to me now. And come as a sinner to Jesus. And I will accept you. Did you realize that God is like that? And you see, when you come, when you surrender your life to him, he takes that life. He says, you've given your life to me, I'm taking it. I'm taking it all. And as he takes your life, he gives you back a new life. A different life. A new relationship. A new heart that beats for him. No longer a servant, out to impress, do's and don'ts, but his child, to know him, to love him, to enjoy obeying him, and to give him all my days until that last day when I enter heaven to be with him. That's the gospel. That's what it's all about. It's not me trying to impress God. It's God saying, I love sinners. So come just as you are, a sinner. That's all that's needed. Stop complicating it. Of course I know what you're like. So come, because my Son has done everything that you could not do by his death upon the cross to put you right with me. So how can God accept me? Well, hope forever you take a big crayon and you write, scribble out, go to church and keep the rules. Or better than that, set fire to it. And you won't find it again. Set fire to it. That's not how you get right with God. Going to church, keeping the rules. It's coming as a sinner to Jesus. So we close. Have you come? You can't impress God, can you? So give up. And stop pretending to others. And stop pretending to yourself. and be brutally honest. Own up to the fact, and maybe, Christian friend, you need to grasp this. Maybe you've never really grasped that the gospel is about this. Own up to the fact that you are a failure. Take off the mask. See the worst in yourself. And come to Jesus just as you are. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you do, you could walk home tonight right with God. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.